You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything that's happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look to the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today wherever you get your podcast.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. We made it 85% of the way through the death 2 weeks. I don't want to say death march. That's a lot of bad history behind that phrase. But through the busy 2 weeks, San Jose's Christmas because they've been bad for 2 years. So there's not a whole lot to look forward to besides the draft. And free agency is probably going to be kind of weak just because San Jose's not contending for a lot of free agents. So this week for you guys today, we are going to talk about the draft that just happened, our impressions, what we think of the picks, things of that nature. On Wednesday, we will have an expert on to dive deep into the picks, what their play styles are like, what they thought of the value, and just get an actual scout's perspective on it. Tomorrow, we're going to round up free agency rumors, Sharks rumors, all that kind of good stuff. We'll have a post-free agency podcast at the end of the week, and then hopefully we're setting up an interview with somebody for the end of the week, and if not, we will hit you with some more Sharks thoughts at the end of the week. So it's going to be free agency and draft stuff for this week. It's going to be exciting, so stay here to Locked On Sharks. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, are JD and Eric, the Skellefte and Lulia to my Jew Gardens. I don't know. I just want to say this. We're three white dudes with the microphone that have watched the Sharks forever. I don't know. If you're new here, we used to work at Fear the Fin. Work is a loose term. We used to cavort in we were a shadowy cabal at Fear the Fin. If you like Fear the Fin, then take that and run with it. If not, we're all longtime Sharks fans. Well, not JD. He likes the Flyers. He's secretly Kevin Kurtz in a trench coat. Is what's going on here.
Free Kevin Kurtz in a trench coat.
Yeah, he'd be pretty tall. He's a tall.
He's dude. Tall. He's like 6'4".
He's like 6'4". Yeah, monstrous.
That's a huge trench coat.
Yeah, it's like Yao Ming. Okay, let's dive into what everybody's here for, the draft. I'll just say it. Okay, first, I would like to put this out there into the world. We cannot call William Eklund Eck or EK. There's already an Evander Kane and an Erik Karlsson, which get called EK65 and EK9. We're not doing this again. A, it's uncreative. B, no offense to Shang. I know he was just typing on Twitter, but I motion hereby that we refer to William Eklund as E5 from now on.
This motion passes the flying colors.
Multiple layers of...
It's so funny because if you were a hockey fan like in the 2000s and had the internet and stuff like that, it's just the perfect joke. And it just works so seamlessly. Shout out to Eklund from Hockey Buzz. But I think we call him E5. But first reactions, what would you give the letter grade for the Sharks draft? Obviously, we don't know what these guys are going to turn into. But first take, what's your letter grade for the Sharks draft? We'll be very pundit-y right now.
I want to say a C in the sense that...
A C?
Hold on. Like the William Eklund pick was amazing, but he also felt it was sort of like they would have really had to galaxy brain it to not take him. I know Brent Clark was there, but like they would have really had to be like, let's take Tyler Boucher or whatever right now in order to totally galaxy brain this thing. And then afterward, there was like Cardwell I liked, and like Gaudreau was a good gamble at a goalie, I think, based on what we know of his statistical profile. But there are a lot of players where you just kind of go, it's unlikely that a lot of these guys are going to outproduce their draft slots, I think, just based on the profiles of the players. And so you get the combination of great pick at the top, and then afterwards, sort of like, they didn't seem to set themselves up for success very much after that.
Okay, JD?
I go with a B. I mean, I like that. Of course, we love the Eklund pick. I like the Gaudreau pick, the goalie. They were saying if he had played at all this year, he probably would have been a second round pick. So that feels like it could be potentially a steal. But the defenseman kind of where it was it kind of seemed like the Sharks had moved away from like, let's get big boy, big meat defenseman back there. And they kind of went back to that this year. So I know they like, you have Merkley and stuff like that is a little bit smaller, but I don't know if they're trying to, I don't know what they're doing with the defenseman. So I like some of the potential of some of the forwards, you know, like McGee and stuff, like playing with London, the London Knights, who are very good at developing players. I think you'll get the most, they'll be able to get the most out of those guys, but the defenseman, I just kind of question marks.
I'm saying A minus because anytime you come away with the best player in the draft, it doesn't really matter what you do.
That's fair. Because, I'm not. Like, yeah.
How many guys from every draft work out? Right. Every seven year, out of like, seven. Oh, look at how like look. Let's yeah. take let's take the patron saints of Twitter jerk off, Carolina Hurricanes. Puja Stola or whatever is not an NHL player, but everybody lost their mind when they took him in the fifth round. Right. So I'm not as concerned when like they took a D. All their D were fourth round and beyond. I think when you start with William Eklund, you're starting off real high because he's the best player in the draft. Benjamin Gaudreau in the third. Even Eric, even you can't be mad because that's a third round pick on a goalie. That's exactly where you want to
go. No, I'm not mad at that one. That's what I'm saying.
They didn't take a goalie really high or anything like that. Ethan Cardwell is undervalued at 121st in the fourth round.
I like him. That was a good pick.
They also talked about drafting guys from the O who didn't play a lot this year, so they might be undervalued. And I think Max McHugh, when we get the expert on, we'll dive more into it. Max McHugh is going to be undervalued because he didn't play. Liam Gilmartin at 167 is a great pick. That's what you got to do with these back-end guys, is just take guys you think have upside. I'm not as down on the D. Apparently, they can all skate, even though they're big. They took two guys, Artem Guriev and Yevgeny Kashnikov, and San Jose likes taking Russian defenders, especially Kashnikov, who plays in the queue just like, oh, Knyazev? Is that the right one?
Yeah. Knyazev played in the queue. Yeah.
So I'm not as down. I think when they took, how many guys did they take? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They took 9. If they get 3 out of there, like 3 legit NHL players out of that's got to be a win. So that's why I'm going A-. Do we need to talk about William Eklund any further?
Yes.
No. I mean, yes. that was incredible. But yeah, I'm trying. It's hard to know about the defenseman they drafted because there's like no scouting reports. Gannon LaRocque, I found a few more scouting reports, and they're a little bit more sort of positive than his point scoring led me to believe. And actually, he shows up pretty well in Simo Teperi's draft model. But part of that was because he went from like 0 points in 4 WHL games last year to 7 and 21. And so it's like when a company says, oh, we had a 400% customer increase, and they went from one customer to 4 customers. So it's like, you know,
I think their D picks are all very much, they need to keep developing. They didn't take any D where it's like, we just need to polish them up or anything like that. Like Gannon LaRocque needs to do a bunch of different things in order to be the NHL. But I think once we dive deep with a scout, it'll probably make more sense or make less sense, right? It could make less sense. We could. It just doesn't feel like they did a Hamaljak or a Mirko Mueller this year. Are you like me and you're too lazy to actually go to the grocery store and get groceries, so you order a HelloFresh box or a Good Food Prep box every week and get it delivered to your door? If you're lazy like that, and I know there's a lot of you are, Built Bars are a great way to also be lazy about your eating habits. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus some limited time flavors? There's coconut almond, cherry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie. My favorite, or flavorite, if you will, is definitely the peanut butter brownie. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, then you can definitely get a mix box where you get 2 each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. Please check out the individuals because they do vary, but most of them are quite healthy like that. So order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever your favorite is. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
I don't know. The defense picks to me feel like that. They feel like maybe not the very last one in the seventh round. He scored a little bit. But like, I think all the research about NHL draft ease is that defensemen who score better tend to pan out more likely than not. And I appreciate that, like, LaRocque was really young. He's a, like, August 30th birthday, and so he's got a big runway, and that's nice. And we like young players, and I think one of the other defensemen, the Russian defenseman, the Q, is also born in May, so these guys aren't like January, February guys who should be scoring a ton. But I think that if you look at the draft, there's one or two guys right after them who play defense who scored a fair bit more. And at some point, you have to trade, like, okay, maybe he's undervalued because he didn't play a lot, for like, well, maybe this guy is just better if he was able to produce more points at this, at a similar age. And so that's my sort of knock, is like, they seemed to sort of, and the forwards too, I think, like, I like Cardwell. I don't have a problem with the other guys, but I feel like they're trying to find Barkley Goodrow's. When you read their scouting reports, these guys are mostly like gritty or hitters.
That's
an effect.
That's a 2021 draft thing. There was no guys.
I think there were a few others that were less like, you know, grit heavy. I agree. You're unlikely to find guy like Joe Pavelski's most seasons, and that I think people get kind of tripped up on, like, oh, we need to find the next Kevin LeBanc and Joe Pavelski. Like, you should be looking for those guys, but they're exceedingly rare, especially in a bad draft. But reading the profiles, it's like, oh, this guy is like hard nose, big hitter kind of thing. I'm like,
For Cardwell. You know, Cardwell,
I love. You're right. Cardwell was a great pick.
He hits and goes in the court and stuff, but he also is very skilled. And when he went over to Sura Hammers, what a great name!
What a great name!
Yeah, and what's the hockey Etan?
It's like the third pro league in Russia,
which makes
in
sense
Sweden,
for like
Sweden,
a 17, 18 year old. So he had 27 points in 18 games there, and previously in 2019-20, as like a 16, 17 year old, he had 21 points in 37 games with Saginaw, who weren't very good. But then he got traded, and he ended up having 26 and 26 for Barry, who was better, and he got to play more minutes and stuff like that. So I think
the fun thing with Cardwell is one of his comparisons is Kevin LeBanc. So
really?
Yes. Yeah. That was in a Shang's article that one of his comparisons is actually Kevin LeBanc.
That's fun. I like that. That's
yeah,
fourth,
I like
fourth
the Cardwell pick. The Cardwell pick is great. So, you know, I'm probably being too harsh. I'm just like,
see, for me, Eklund, Gaudreau, Cardwell and Gil Martin are all great picks where they are picked, and I personally like Max McHugh, and I don't mind Gannon LaRocque because he's a very small baby. He's huge, yeah. But he's mad young.
Apparently, Victoria
was really bad.
We're awful, right?
Yeah. So we'll see.
I did watch some highlights though, and it was like a lot of him sort of behind the net, and like his highlights were like him hitting people, and I'm just like, granted, that was the choice of the person putting together the clip compilation, but yeah. Like. Generally
they did
speaking,
show. They did show his one goal. It was sweet.
It was from the blue line, right? But I'm like, I need to find highlights of him transitioning or getting out of the way of a forechecker before I'm like, oh, okay. And that's no offense to him. I'm talking completely about the Sharks' process here.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the players,
excluding William Eklund.
Mm-hmm.
JD, who do you think they got the best pick was in terms of where they got them, his projections, that kind of thing? Because obviously we can be like, ooh, Eklund's the best pick. Duh.
We'll definitely circle back to Eklund. But I really like Goodrow, the goalie. Like I said, he didn't play, like he missed basically an entire year because of...
He only played in the under-18s.
And he took home, he was the goaltender of the tournament there. You know, everything they said, he's really good. He's been working on his glove hand. I think... Like I said, he's one of those guys who, if he had probably played, he probably would have been a second round pick. And if you're getting a second round pick in the third round, that's great value for a guy who looks like he could be a potential NHL starter. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be like a full time, you know, but
his projection, according to so if you read Josh Tesler's Smot Scouting's report, he comes out to an NHL starter as his projection, which. That's good. That's better than what San Jose has now.
Yes.
His quote.
He's like probably their best prospect immediately. I think. Yeah.
No. Sorry, Eklund's
Goalie prospect. Obviously,
I think Gaudreau's Melnichuk had a really good season in the Q. In the K. But yeah, Gaudreau. I really like the Gaudreau pick as well. His quote was so funny. It was basically like, "Yeah, me and my agent talked about going somewhere and going to a team where I'm a little bit more ready and can come over faster, and going to a team that needs goalies is really going to help." It's basically like your
so
goalie
good.
Pipeline.
So good, yeah. A team that might need me sooner.
Like, were you guys surprised about the Gaudreau pick that they took a goalie in the third round?
No.
I'd said they're going to take at least one goalie. So
Yeah, and by all accounts, he's the third best goalie in the draft. He was ahead of Tristan Lennox, who went a little bit later. So, yeah, I like the Gaudreau pick.
A Russian goalie that I think a lot of folks in the Twitter like public sphere liked as a third best goalie. But sure, it's probably not like a clear separation.
Craig Button had Gaudreau ranked 31st. Pretty good. He was the second NHL central scouting goalies behind only Kasa. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think you have to eventually try to find a goalie. You can't just constantly scrounge in the dirt.
Keep swinging for him. Yeah.
You actually have to find one, and taking one in the third round who probably, again, OHL probably had depressed value because they didn't play. Yeah. I like the pick. Eric, who is your best pick for value and where they picked and projections?
I like Cardwell. He was one of the guys that I was trying to find. So I like wrote an article about how to like unearth late round gems. And it seemed like they're guys who, if nothing else, well, A, they're born later, which we'll get to. But also they tend to, at least in the scouting reports I read, tend to be like intelligent, if nothing else, even if they weren't like this guy oozes upside, or this guy has crazy skills. Like this guy's really smart. He knows where he's supposed to be. He can figure out the game really well. And that sort of seemed to be the case with Cardwell. And so if nothing else, like the dude like understands how to play. And he was I think it's like a October birthday or something. And a lot of people sort of thought that he should have been drafted last year. And so I think fits the mold of someone who in a few years might look back at and go, how did he slip to the fourth round? And so that is why he was my favorite pick.
Yeah, I was going to say Gaudreau. I like Cardwell, but I'll go with Liam Gilmartin. They took him in the sixth round.
Oh, yeah, way back.
He's a USND TP guy, but he's going to go play with the London Knights, which I think will really help boost his development because that's basically like an NHL feeder program. He scored with the U.S. National Under 18. He had 35 points in 50 games, which is pretty good. I think when you get a guy that late that, A, he's good at transition. So there you go, Eric. He's a transition wizard, getting out of the zone and stuff like that. But he's got really good hands for such a big, like, physical guy. He's not just, I'll say Brady Tkachuk, where he's smashing you in the face, or Evander Kane, where he's just smashing you in the face and then going to the front of the net and getting pucks and stuff like that. The guy actually has some skills. So I think anytime you can get a guy like that in the sixth round, you're doing something right. But I think we can all agree that Eklund, Gaudreau, Cardwell, Gilmartin are probably their four best picks, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and if, like you said, if you get three to make, I mean, we assume
Eklund's NHL probability by like all the models is like 97% something like that. Yeah. One of the models has his star percentage at 74%.
I mean, Doug Wilson on the conference call was like, yo, get in the gym so you can get here as soon as you can, basically.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Baseball season is in full swing, and NFL is about to start up again. The good news is you can track all the action at Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Not only can you bet, but you get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. So before the next pitch or before kickoff starts, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up on bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs or beginning of the season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use a promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Do you think he has a chance to make the Sharks this year? Because it really seems like
I think he's already confirmed that he's going back to Sweden for the season.
No. So what happens is that everybody except for the KHL can choose where they play. So it doesn't matter because he got drafted. It doesn't matter that he can go back to Djurgården. So he can actually come play for the Sharks. There's no like the agreement, the transfer agreement or whatever it's called was signed by everybody except for the KHL, which I just learned on the weekend. So he can, if he really wants to and they want him to, he can play for San Jose in September. It sounds like San Jose kind of wants him.
They need some excitement. They need to turn the ship around. Doug Wilson needs Plattner to see like some sort of progress. And if they see a 18-year-old scoring a few goals in the third line, like, well, you know,
put him and Dahlin on the same line together. And that's why.
Oh, we need to find a Swedish center. I'm okay with him signing with Walmart.
Yeah, you got to look at the free agents and see which free agents centers are from Sweden.
Yeah, Lucas Walmart.
There you go. Let's go. Let's fly.
Can you imagine a line? William Eklund on the left, Tomas Hertl down the middle, and then Jonathan Dahlin on the right.
Oh my goodness.
Although that's asking a lot of a couple of rookies. But yes, that would be exciting.
That'd be fun. Dude, I still think he's going back to Sweden.
I do too.
He's not very big right now.
I spent way too much time this weekend looking up Eklund stuff. First, trying to figure out how to get a Swedish national team Eklund jersey. And then also I was looking at the Drew Garden's schedule. So their regular season ends in March. I don't know how good Drew Garden is. I think they were kind of middle of the pack last year. So even if they make the playoffs but get like knocked out the first round, San Jose, the Sharks schedule, they keep playing the regular season until May. So we might actually see Eklund at the end of, you know, April or May.
Do guys come over from Europe like that, though? I feel like that's usually a college thing. I mean, otherwise, they just kind of let them do their thing. But I suppose if they're like, let's see, finished 10th last year, but they made it and they lost in the first round of the playoffs. So,
they're not very good.
But they did have a negative 12 goal differential, which was quite a bit above of the next team above them. So
just looking at their roster right now, it doesn't appear that they have any top prospects.
Right, especially Alex Holtz.
Oh, they have Alex Holtz.
William Eklund outscored Alex Holtz this year. And Alex Holtz is a full year older.
The same line. But Alex Holtz is going to be gone. So
is he though?
Oh, Dominic Bock. Dominic Bock is on the team.
And then Nicholas
Alvin Grew was drafted in the second round by the Red Wings 2 years ago.
Hey, look at their goalie, Mantis Armalis.
Ah, a good friend of ours.
Oh, Mantis.
Wow. And Carl Lindblom, I think, was the Swedish U18 goalie. Although I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're not brimming with talent like some of these other teams are.
Sure, yeah.
Like a
Vegas drafted in the seventh round.
Yeah, so I think
we might see him.
Do you think, honestly, do you think that they would put him on the team? Do you think they would put him on the team in September, in October, if he comes over and is looking good?
If he just lights it up, I mean, you might as well get those rookie bumps out of the way anyway. If the team's not going to be, you know, if the team's really trying to make the playoffs and he's one of their best 12 forwards, why not? You know, like, I mean, we saw, I know, a little bit different situation, but Cole Caulfield, he comes on the Canadiens and just it's like lightning in the bottle for the team, right?
He'd play a full season.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just like, sometimes you catch lightning with these guys. And if Eklund is as good as we think Eklund's going to be.
I wonder if they're still a bit scared by the Mirko Mueller experiment. The narrative there is that the Sharks like ruined him by rushing him, even though the narrative should be that he was just a bad pick to begin with. And I wonder if, and he played a full season after he was drafted, two full seasons after he was drafted before he stepped foot in the NHL. And it didn't go well. Yeah.
No, he didn't. He was an 18-year-old and playing for San Jose.
He was drafted in 13. He played 13, 14. One full season. And then he stepped in the NHL and didn't go well.
Good old Mirko Mueller.
So I wonder if they're a little bit like
that. Was also that was like 8 years ago.
I know Timo got mono, but he played the full season after he got drafted too.
So
I think the Sharks tend
to be conservative,
on the side of conservation there. Granted, they've never been this bad before, so
he would be exciting.
Yes.
Oh, he would be so exciting. I would buy.
Jersey. Yep.
Oh yeah, I wonder what number he's gonna wear. Also, can we just point out that he posted a picture of himself wearing a Sharks Reebok jersey?
Yeah,
with the orange piping. So he had that beforehand. Apparently, his dad is friends with Douglas Murray or something.
Mm.
And they released a family video thanking the Sharks. Like his mom, him, and his dad all thanked the Sharks for getting drafted.
I saw that. Yeah,
yeah. His dad mentioned his good friend Douglas Murray. So, yeah, it's exciting. So let's talk prospect pool. Eklund's the best prospect they have now, right?
Yeah, I mean, a landslide.
By a landslide. with. I mean, it's not wrong. Like, we're not
worried. No. I can hear. Let me.
Yeah, let's rank the top five.
Chat. You guys chat.
So I think you have to go Eklund, Merkley, Bordalo, Ozzy Robbins, I think is my top. I forgot Knyzev. I'm gonna go with those five right now.
Sweet baby boy. Let's see. I think
Eklund Merkley is probably one too.
Yeah.
I will say Merkley's lack of scoring is a bit scary, but I think we are okay enough at this point to sort of understand that there's more to him than that.
And they're also not rushing him at all. Like, they are going slowest possible pace.
Okay.
Which makes sense when you're bad.
I have Patrick Bacon, aka Top Down Hockey's prospect model that he recently put together. Do you want star potential ranking or NHL potential ranking?
Do star first.
All right. Star.
Eklund. Grand Canyon size.
I don't know why Eklund's not showing up here. He must not have changed it to the teams, to their new NHL team rights. So obviously Eklund's first. Dahlin and Cechkovich come next. It's Dahlin, and there's quite a bit of a jump until Cechkovich, but still good numbers. And then Bordalo, Gushin, Weisblatt, and Robbins all have like very, very similar chance of becoming a star and NHLer. Then we got Shemilevsky, and then Gnyazev, and then Brandon Coe, John Leonard, but he's already an NHLer, so I'm not counting him. And then Merkley, and then Blickfeld, and then, oh, Kyle's favorite, Linus Gjeberg.
My and favorite trade bit.
And then it's a bunch of guys who are like sub 1% to become stars.
Okay, so who? So how does, let's do it this way. How does Cardwell fit in there? Is he in the, if we tier them up between the Eklund, Dahlin,
Cardwell is sort of like a Brandon
Coe. He's in the middle group, right? Like,
he's like, he's in the Brandon Coe where his star percentage is really low, but he's actually, given where he was drafted, has a decent chance to become an NHLer.
Yeah, like I think you're looking for like a top nine guy for right there, right?
Yeah. If he makes it, right.
Where does Liam Gilmartin fit in there? Below that tier or same tier, do you think?
Below that tier. He's in the like just, I think, sub 1% making the NHL. Again, I don't know why. He hasn't updated it, and so like this view doesn't show me the 2021 draft class, unfortunately.
That's fine. We can.
My memory serves me correctly, he's below the tier of guys who has like a 1-4% chance of becoming a star, and then varying degrees of NHLer, but probably like single digit percentage.
And then Gannon Larocque and Max McHugh would be the next in that tier, probably similar.
Yeah. I believe that was the case.
So really, we're looking at Eklund at the top, and then Cardwell becoming something, maybe a little bit more. And then the other guys probably have a decent shot of coming in NHLer. Ben Gaudreau, do we think
he doesn't model goalies?
No, I know. This is us now.
Have it up. Yeah.
Do we think it goes Melnichuk, Gaudreau, or does it go Gaudreau, Melnichuk?
I would go Melnichuk shot at the NHL first, obviously, just because he's in the AHL already. He didn't have a great year in the
NHL game.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year in the AHL. So I think I think just the fact that Gaudreau is younger, he has some more room to run. He had some solid goals saved above average numbers in the OHL last year, gives him more potential at this point.
I think you have to give Melnichuk the benefit of the doubt because of his KHL numbers. But if he doesn't perform that well this year, then I think Gaudreau clearly launches ahead. I think Gaudreau is going to be on the CUDA next September, like a year from now, like 2022, 2023.
You're forgetting about our boy Magnus Crona, who's...
Oh, big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
I feel like I think he's a good prospect, but everything everybody said, he's a good prospect, but we need to see him play at the University of Denver again.
Let's see him put up another solid
season. He's still just like a lump of clay. Yeah. He's not really anything else. Let's talk before we get out of here. Let's talk draft strategy. How did we feel about DW the younger? This was his 1, 2, 3, 4. This is his fifth draft, right? Because he started in 2017.
His 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah, correct.
How do we feel about his fifth draft?
This is why my grade for them was low when we first started. And that's very still malleable. But I think that rather than stick to the smaller, high scoring defenseman. They try to find guys who are like defensive defensemen now, and that doesn't tend to pan out, even if they are good skaters and more mobile than we give them credit for now, because there's no scouting reports on them. Just the way they went to approach that doesn't seem to pan out. And then whereas last year, even the seventh round picks, with the exception of Faxa, seem to be like, these guys are like creative playmakers kind of thing. They seem to be drafting more Barkley Goodrow types rather than try to find more creative playmakers. And so that's why I thought it was very weird, because outside of Eklund and Goodrow, because they've never drafted a goal except for Imlon before, I was just sort of like, it's been a roller coaster since he took over, and I don't understand like exactly what he's trying to drive them toward, if that makes sense.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for this one due to the draft class being bunk. It's not a good draft class. So I think drafting a bunch of Barkley Goodrows isn't the worst thing, because there's just like Sasha Pastiov fell to like 70 or whatever like that. But that was weird.
Barkley Goodrow just got a 6x, he can't, 3x6 he can't skate or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah, he can't. Like, that's the thing, is like Sasha Pastiov fell to 71 or whatever. Or yeah. Simone Robinson, I think, was 71. These guys have major flaws. So it's not like last year or coming up the next 2 years where there's going to be a glut of reasonably high end top six potential guys in the later round. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think these last five drafts have been better than a lot of the DW, the senior drafts.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I think we're still trending in the right direction. I don't think they did anything this year that was like so outrageously dumb that it like ruined the Doug Wilson two draft strategy. Like between Eklund, Cardwell, McHugh, Gilmartin, even Theo Jacobson. I know you liked him.
He was interesting. Even like Will Scouch had a small blurb on him that was sort of like, I wouldn't draft him this year, but I keep an eye on him. But like, I don't know, it's enough for me. And he scored pretty well. In
honestly, Swedish, it's the sixth and seventh round. You just take a swing on a guy the difference between a guy getting drafted middle of the fifth and not getting drafted is razor thin.
Yeah. Right. And also, we don't know if Doug Wilson, you know, I'm sure there's politics going on in the room too and that sort of thing. If last year was like the signature Doug Wilson junior draft, there might have been more this year to like get more voices involved. And we don't know who exactly is vouching for each guy.
Either. Exactly. JD, how are you feeling about the DW too?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's Eklund aside, I don't think it's as exciting as last year's draft where we're like, oh man, look at all these dudes. But I did like the trade back in the third round to pick up a sixth round pick, especially because they didn't have one. And then, wondered if they tried to move around, because they had multiple fourth and fifth round picks, if they tried to move around there but weren't able to, or maybe try to get a draft pick for next year but they just weren't able to. I would have maybe have liked to seen that, try to stockpile for next year, but I know next year's picks are probably a little more valuable than this year's picks are, so they probably weren't able to do that. But again, you're literally coming away with the best player in the draft, so it's hard to kind of poo-poo on the draft from there. So I think some of these guys, once we kind of start to follow them along this season, we get back to a more normal hockey world. I think we'll probably get a little bit more excited about some of these guys. So,
yeah, we're going to have a scout on Wednesday show to talk about the draft in depth and exactly what these guys are and give you like proper scouting, not just us jabronis talking about what we think happened. Jabroni, yeah, like the Will said, the Jabroni. So stay with us this week. We're going to wrap up our draft coverage and we're going to start looking at free agents and what the Sharks are going to do going forward before we drop down to three episodes a week next week. And we're going to do a lot of more lighthearted episodes, because I mean, there's only so much effort you can spend in August towards draft prospects, and I don't think we want to start the 2022 draft profiles just yet. We'll maybe hold off for another month on that.
Oh, I've started already.
Eric's got the spreadsheet open. It's me and you are gonna be loving a certain Slovakian winger. That guy rules. So we'll get into that next year, but for now, please stay with us this week when we have some interviews and more coverage of the free agency and all that good stuff coming up. Stay with us. Still follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sharks. Please DM us if you have any thoughts or if you want to see us do a specific show this summer. We will take it under consideration and most likely do it. If you get your episodes from Facebook or Instagram, JD's putting up all our work there, so you can message us there and we'll see it. No big deal. If you would like to do Gmail, you can email us at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. I actually checked it today. Nobody's emailed us. Thank you, everybody, for your understanding and your consideration on this matter. If you would like to follow any of us individually, you can follow JD at My Fry Hole. You can follow Eric at Foulball15.
Kyle Demetrius. Let's do it together, everyone, at the same time.
We'll do it in a round, baby. We'll be back tomorrow. Free agency, rumors, feel the heat.
Betting on sports doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.